across America. Welcome to World Changers. I'm Jamie Osborne. We welcome our audience on the Biz Talk Radio Network, our TV audience on Biz TV, and our digital audience on iHeartRadio. You know, sometimes I think I am the only human on the face of the earth that does not have a tattoo. I have not taken that leap yet, but a lot of my friends have tattoos, and a lot of the people I work with have tattoos. But there's one guy out there. His name is Eric Catalano, and he is in Hecker, Illinois. And he's a tattoo artist that has recently gone viral for doing good. And we're going to talk to him in just a minute. But what happened was there was an individual who had to have the tips of their fingers amputated. Okay, and so they go to Eric to try to do something to make themselves make it a little less noticeable and that sort of thing. And so this tattoo artist, Eric Catalano of Hecker, Illinois, he comes up with a super, I mean, ultra realistic fingernail tattoo that he's able to put on. It goes viral online, gets, you know, tons and tons and tons of activity in social media, and then of course Eric suddenly becomes internet famous and finds a mission in life. And so now we welcome Eric Catalano. He is with Eternal Ink Tattoo Studio in Hecker, Illinois, to World Changers. How you doing, Eric?
Good. Thanks for having me on the show.
Excited to have you. So, tell me about this mission you have come upon in life. We're going to get to the GoFundMe page you're doing in just a minute and that sort of thing. But you know, lots of people go and get tattoos. It's a way of individual expression. It's a way to communicate something to the world. But there are some people that go and get tattoos for an entirely different reason. And how did you stumble upon that segment of the market and your particular calling to serve those folks?
Well, we started doing a breast cancer awareness fundraiser back in 2010, where we were giving away free breast cancer ribbons just to raise awareness and kind of get everybody together and gather donations for Susan G. Komen and things like that. Throughout that process, a lot of the women were obviously breast cancer survivors. And so during the course of the fun little ribbon event, they were saying, do you think you could actually do a nipple-looking tattoo on my breast because it's blank, you know? And once they get their mastectomies, their breasts are blank and there's not a nipple there, there's not an areola there, just some scarring. And so with the reconstruction options available today after cancer and after your mastectomies, there's not many options. One of the biggest options is a tattoo. And so I started diving into the world of realism and hyper-realism and things like that to make these nipples and areolas look realistic. And so it's kind of gone from there.
So let's stick with that for a moment and tell me, you know, some of the stories of transformation. So you have these cancer survivors. They've gone through a very traumatic procedure. They're coming to you to help them psychologically, if nothing else, be able to move on from that. And so you said you did the research, hyper-realistic tattoos and that sort of thing. What was the reaction, or what have been some of the reactions from some of these women who have undergone, you know, your particular procedure?
Well, it's extremely emotional. And I don't even think normal people or people who haven't been through what they've been through could imagine exactly how they feel to have a part of their body that was taken for granted, that we all take for granted our normal attributes about ourselves. And then for this disease that they never asked for, this cancer, to affect them, I'm sure, in so many ways. And then to fight for their life, and then to lose something that's always been part of them. And then to imagine that they're never going to have that back, I'm sure, is a mental is mentally just a huge hardship for them. And then to be able to look in the mirror and even if not tangibly, but aesthetically, just it looks like they're whole again or complete again. Once they get up out of my chair and I wipe the ink off and I dry it and I tell them to get up and look, it's a very, very emotional experience for them.
Okay. So you kind of accidentally got into this particular line of work with this fundraising campaign, the ribbon campaign you did for Susan G. Komen. Let's fast forward now to what happened most recently. You know, we have a lot of people on the show who are leading ordinary lives, doing ordinary things in their little corner of the world, and then all of a sudden something happens on social media and the world seems to be paying attention to them. That happened to you. Tell us that story.
Well, it's a funny story. So I've been getting more locally throughout the St. Louis area known for these realistic tattoos that I do. And it's probably mostly because I do them for no charge. So everybody always makes a big deal out of it. You know, thank you for doing that for free and blah, 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 and sharing it and everything. So you get people every once in a while coming in for other types of realistic stuff. So the guy came in my shop and he had the tips of two of his fingers cut off last year. And he said to me, "Hey, do you think you could put two fingernails on the tips of my fingers as a joke, kind of as a joke, just to make it look like I got two fingernails?" And I said, "You know, are you sure you want to do that? Because, you know, obviously I can't give you plastic fingernails or plastic looking fingernails. I don't have any kind of implants for that. I don't have any kind of prosthetic. You know, this is just ink, you know." And he said, "Yeah, I'm not really too concerned with how it turns out. I just kind of think it would be funny." Well, when he showed up for his appointment, I thought to myself, well, I've never done a fingernail tattoo, but I've done tons of nipples. So let's see how realistic I can make these fingernails look. And I did my best. And whenever I wiped the ink off of his fingers and he looked in the mirror, it was almost the same kind of reaction that you see out of some of the cancer survivors, because I don't think he had any expectations to have an actual realistic looking fingernail. I think it was more of a joke until he saw how real it was. And then it wasn't a joke anymore. He was very touched. It was very emotional. And he really, I think, had an overwhelming sense of completeness to himself then.
Then what happened? So there's obviously, I think it was a reaction video, as I remember. So what happened after that?
Well, what happened was I took a couple pictures, and I even thought when I took the pictures, I even just remember thinking to myself, wow, like these look so real. Like this is kind of incredible. I said, people are going to kind of freak over this. And when I say people are going to freak over this, I meant like my mom, my dad, you know, and a couple of the tattoo artists at my shop. I didn't mean like the world, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So just like all my other tattoos, I put a picture of it on Facebook and I don't get any reception in Walmart. So me and my son went into Walmart and we were grocery shopping, and I didn't even remember that I posted it on Facebook. And I guess it was probably about an hour later, I walk outside of Walmart and my phone gets service again. And I remember checking my phone and it said I had something like 1,000 or something notifications. My email was full. My text messages were full. I was getting messages from newspaper. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? So this, I guess, thousands of people started sharing this, and it just blew up.
Well, you know, I think, Eric, a lot of people, you know, wonder sometimes why they're put on this earth. And it would seem that you have found a purpose, and that it's certainly taking off very quickly. So we have 1 minute. Eric has set up a GoFundMe page. Why has he set up a GoFundMe page? Because He's trying to give away all these services to amputees and to cancer survivors at no charge, but he's a guy with a family and responsibilities like everybody else, and he needs some help to do that. Eric, quickly, tell us, how do we find you on GoFundMe?
On GoFundMe, you can type in, and quickly I'll just say that when I've been doing these for free for years, but it's always been about five or ten a month. But I have a GoFundMe set up under Hyper Realistic Tattooing Services for Survivors.
Hyper Realistic Services for Survivors. All right, Eric Catalano, he is with Eternal Ink Tattoo, Hecker, Illinois. We thank you so much for being with us. Keep up the good work, and we'll be back right here. World Changers Biz Talk Radio Network. Give me one reason to stay here. You know, if you listen to the show very often, you know that I'm the parent of three little kids. And when you have three little kids in your house, there are certain safety precautions and things that you have. So our oldest child was not quite 2 years old when our twins were born. And so we ended up with basically three toddlers at the same time in the house. And we had put up gates and fences, and our house really seemed like a fortress there for a little while. Welcome back to World Changers, by the way. I'm Jamie Osborne. So we did all of that, but when we were trying to secure our house, and our house, particularly our range, was on an island, and it was at a height that scared us to death, quite frankly, that a child might reach up and turn on a stove or something like that. Our solution to that was pretty low tech. We just would remove the knobs all the time. We'd put them away, but that's a big pain because you take the knobs off and you still have to go searching for them when you want to make something and put them back and remember to take them off again and that sort of thing. Well, there's a company out there called Range Safe that has come up with a solution for parents like us who are looking to protect their children, protect pets even. And the company is called Range Safe. We welcome into World Changers Trevor Lawson, who is joining us from Southern Virginia today. How you doing, Trevor?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much, Jamie. Thanks for your time.
So excited to have you here. So let's start with the once upon a time of this product. You are the inventors, I understand. So take me back to the very beginning. Where did the idea come from, and where did it go from there?
Okay, so we had an appliance store where we sold appliances, and it had a cooking school in Massachusetts. And one Saturday morning, a customer who we sold a range to came in the store, and he was hopping mad because he felt I'd sold him an unsafe range. Because during the night before, his dog jumped up towards the stove, turned it on, and this is 2 o'clock in the morning, and he had a pan on there. It didn't catch fire or anything, but it caused a lot of smoke, and the smoke alarms went off, and you know, fire engines came, the police and everything. So he was fuming. He thought I'd sold him a very poor quality range. In actual fact, what I had sold him was a really good range that had exactly the same mechanism for turning the knob on as every other range out there that's been manufactured. And that's what started me to look into this problem.
Okay, and so you tried to come up with a solution, and where did it go from there? You know, you started making sketches, you eventually got to a prototype. How did it go?
Well, first of all, what I did was I walked around our cooking school, and I looked at all the different manufacturers and the knobs, and I leant against them, and I could turn them on very easily just by leaning against them. I could understand how a child could turn them on. I totally understood and realized how a dog could do it as they jump up to the front of the stove to see what's cooking. So once I was that far, I decided to think, how can we improve this? And, you know, I was thinking that the knob itself has to lock in a lock position. So once I came up with the kind of premise of an idea in my mind, I contacted several design companies who, it was very difficult with the design companies because if they couldn't see the vision, they really didn't want to do anything. But I eventually found one over in California, and we worked together for maybe 2 years, coming up with an actual design and a mechanism that would lock the knob itself. From there, the next thing we had to do was to patent the idea, which is ridiculously expensive but invaluable long term. But that also takes 2 years. And then we went to find a manufacturer. The manufacturers, you know, we had several manufacturers in line who dragged us down the road for 6 months, which was a problem for us, and then said they couldn't do it or they couldn't work it out. But we ended up with a successful manufacturer, and that's how it really started, how we got to this point today.
So there's a study that was published by the International Fire Chiefs Association. A study's a few years old, but it highlights the nature of this problem. And as I understand it, according to the International Fire Chiefs Association, 11% of injuries with kids originate on the stovetop, a little more than 1 out of 10. Is that right?
That's right. I mean, it's significant how many children actually get injured or start this process of turning a range on and starting a potential fire. I mean, it's really significant. If you look at the big fire that was in Brooklyn a couple of years ago, that fire was started by a 3-year-old. And unfortunately, that resulted in 13 deaths.
We've got the problem, okay, and it's obviously a significant problem anytime you have, you know, one out of 10 injuries originating in a stovetop. So you've sought to solve the problem, you've invented a product, you've taken care of your intellectual property. Now, as a startup, where are you going from here? How do you get this to market?
Well, that was the hardest thing all the way through the process. Every single step was expensive. And as a small retailer and not a large manufacturer, we had to take step by step slowly as we could afford to move forward. So now we're in a position where we've actually got the knob designed, patented, manufactured, and now delivered. So we've had customers who have been emailing us for the last, this has been 7 years. I think for the last 4 years, we've had a website up there. And customers have been emailing us with interest, so we've just shipped out to those customers. We're engaging retailers and a distributor for the Northeast, and that's how we plan to promote it. Again, it's still a very expensive thing to launch a product, so it's going to be grassroots and organic in the main start. But overall, it slowly moves forward. We have some great interest from people, especially retailers. Retailers have known about this problem for years, but nobody ever came up with a solution, so nobody ever did anything. When we show this product to retailers, they're amazed it's there and astounded nobody else has ever come up with it, i.e. a manufacturer.
So, Trevor, tell me about price point here. What does this product cost? Obviously, your range has more than one knob, right? So it comes, I assume, as a set of four, normally five knobs, something like that?
Yeah, so this, what we had to do with this is, this started off as a what we call a pro style knob, which is a Wolf, a Viking, a Thermador, a Blue Star, a Capital, and that's how it started off life. So what we have to do there is create a single box, because these ranges come in 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 knobs required. The price on the current one, the metal version, is $49.99 per knob, and we buy whatever multiples are required.
All right. So, Trevor, let me cut you off right there because we're almost out of time. Trevor Lawson, the company is RangeSafe. Give us the URL. How do we find you online?
Say again, sorry?
What's the website, Trevor?
The website is www.rangesafe.com.
RangeSafe.com. Thank you for being with us, Trevor Lawson. We'll be back with more World Changers in a moment. And it serves 100 ships a day. Lonely sailors
pass the time away.
Welcome back to World Changers. I'm Jamie Osborne. I don't know if you have a favorite spot or not. I have like two or three places that I seem to go like every single week. I get to know the people there and the servers and that sort of thing. Maybe it's the Cheers effect. I don't know. You know, I want to go where somebody knows my name or everybody knows my name. I have no idea. I'm like that. Our next guest is a well-known customer at a McDonald's in Kansas, and that led him on a journey that that allowed him to do something pretty special for somebody who worked at that particular McDonald's. His name is Chris Ellis. He is joining us from Wichita, Kansas. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great today. How's everybody out there?
Well, we are fine. We're surviving the winter, I guess. All right. So let's talk about you for a minute. You are an ordinary guy in Kansas who found himself internet famous all of a sudden. But what do you do? What's your day job when you're not being internet famous?
My day job, I own a company. Kind of hard to explain, kind of an obscure company, but we are systems integrators of material handling equipment. So we go into facilities and help them with handling product, moving product, overhead cranes, conveyors, robotics, automation, etc.
All right. So once upon a time, not too long ago, you go into a McDonald's in South Hutchinson, Kansas, and you meet Vicki Anderson, who works there. You're a frequent customer. You strike up a conversation like you often do. How's life? What's going on? That sort of thing. And she happens to mention something to you. What was that?
Well, to back up just a little bit, some friends and I, during pheasant and quail hunting season out here, which starts the second Saturday of November, our tradition has been for many years to drive through that particular McDonald's on our way out to hunting and eat breakfast. It's kind of a good luck charm for us. So in the second Saturday of November this year, drove through. Vicki was working the drive-through window. I kind of gave her a hard time just because I like to have fun with people at drive-through windows, just kind of have fun in general. I'd talk trucker talk to her. Hey, good buddy, 10-4. I wouldn't pull up to the pay window till she would give me a roger out or an over and out or roger that. And she kind of played along, and we just kind of struck up a conversation, a relationship, and it kind of grew from there. And then a couple of weeks ago, I was driving out to a funeral, and I drove through for a quick lunch. Vicki was working the window. I drove around. I ordered, drove around to pay, and she said, "Hey, Chris, do you know anybody that has a cheap car? Mine broke down before Christmas, and I really need this job. I need to work. And the people here are great. They give me a ride to work, give me a ride home, and they're really great about it. But it's just kind of a hassle. Do you know anybody that has a cheap car?" I said, let me think about it. Let me see what I can figure out. I'll see if I can help you out. So I knew that my son had just bought a new vehicle, actually a used pickup, but it was new to him. And he was trying to sell his car that he'd had for a few years. And I called him and I said, "Hey, Josh, what are you thinking about your car?" He said, "I'll take this for this, Pops. But if we could, I'd take a little bit less if we could help somebody out." So I told him his story about Vicki, and I said, "Let's make a deal, brother. Let's do this. Here's what I'll give you for your car. Let's go over to Hutch and give Vicki this car." He didn't hesitate. He's a really good guy. Didn't hesitate.
His name is Josh, right? Your son's name is Josh.
Yes, that's correct.
All right, so let's stop right there for a minute. So you have some chance encounters with this employee, Vicki Anderson, at this McDonald's. She briefly mentions something to you about needing a car, okay? And then you go back and you actually have a conversation with your son and negotiate to purchase his car so that you can give it to her. What possessed you to do that exactly?
Well,
where did that come from?
I'm a believer in opportunities, and I'm a believer in fate. And it was like fate just looked at me. And there was something about Vicki from the first time that I met her just kind of struck me. There was something about her. She needed a break in life. She'd had some rough times, and she just needed an opportunity, needed a break in life. And we all get breaks in life sometimes, and we're lucky when we get them. And so I just couldn't stop thinking about it. And once I talked to Josh, everything just fell into place perfectly. And I just felt like I had to do that. And of course I lowballed Josh on his car, but I mean, that's part of the deal.
So, all right. Tell me about that trip up there. And so you're going up, I guess your son Josh is with you. You're going to make this rather dramatic presentation to somebody that you barely know. What was that like? Were you excited? Was it a Christmas morning sort of experience for you as the giver to be able to do that? And then tell me how she reacted once you got there.
Oh, for sure. It was the giving at its best. So Josh was driving his car. I was driving my vehicle over there. We pulled up the day before. I'd called her manager and said, here's what I want to do. Is she working? Is this okay? And the manager said, yes, she's working the 6-to-2 shift. And that would just be great. We all love Vicky. This would be fantastic. So Josh and I were very excited. We get over there, we filled it up with gas, and the managers saw us out there filling up with gas. They knew we were there. We pulled around. I walked in, and the manager came up, said, yeah, let's do this, and called Vicky out. And Vicky didn't quite know what to think. And her first response was, am I getting fired? And then she saw me there, and she looked at me. And I said, hey, Vicky, you know, the video kind of explains this, but I said, do you remember our conversation the other day? She said, yeah, about a car. And I said, yeah, exactly. I said, come out here. I have a surprise for you. And I really can't explain it. The video explains it perfectly from there. I mean, the emotion, just the feeling of gratitude from her, it was an amazing experience for both myself and my son. And to share it with my son made it even more special. But it was just an amazing experience. And I didn't expect it to be recorded. Her manager recorded it on her phone. I just never expected it to get to this point. But, wow, what a feeling. I can't explain it. It was unbelievable.
And so it blew up from there, of course. And you've probably, if you're on social media, you've probably seen this video. It's been picked up by networks and all sorts of things. I guess the question I want to ask you is, why? You know, You're a random guy in Kansas who did a random act of kindness for another human being in Kansas, and suddenly, you know, the whole world is talking about it. Why? Why do you think we're captivated by this? What does it touch? What emotion is it touching, or what human need is it touching in all of us to know that this sort of thing is going on in the world?
Well, I know what it did for myself and what it did for Josh and what it did for Vicky. And, you know, I've said this before and the world knows it. There's bad news. You know, if it bleeds, it leads. You've heard that. And that's easy to do. But good stories, they're out there all the time. But it's rare that it gets shared like this thing did. And I think it just touches, you know, I'm lucky. I've worked hard in life and I've gotten lucky. And I was in a position to be able to give her a car. But people can do in small things every day. Open a door for somebody, carry groceries out for somebody. Just give yourself a little bit every day, and it makes such a big difference. And like I said, I'm lucky I was able to give her a car, and it just was such a great feeling. I still, when I watch the video to this day, I'll cry on the video. It's so emotional and just such a great feeling.
What have people said to you since this happened?
I just saw a guy at the grocery store last night who had seen it a couple weeks ago, and I hadn't talked to him since then. And he literally was moved to almost tears at the grocery store, as was I. And he's not a guy I know very well. We just know each other in passing. And it's that kind of response that I've gotten from people that I don't talk to very often, but have texted me or have emailed me or have called me, or I see them randomly at a store or out somewhere, and literally they're moved to emotion, to tears, talking to me about it, and are just like, what a great thing to do. And I feel blessed every day. I feel so lucky to have done it. Just amazing.
So this McDonald's employee, Vicky Anderson, have you stayed in touch?
We text probably a couple times a week. She'll text me, say, hey, Chris, just thinking about you. Pray for me for this, or, you know, how you doing? And I'll text her the same thing. And, Yeah, we're lifelong friends now. We're stuck together, and I'm good with that.
Well, that's awesome. So Chris Ellis from Wichita, Kansas, is a world changer. God bless you, Chris, and thank you for being with us today.
I appreciate the time. Thank you.
We'll be back with more world changers in just a moment. You're listening to the Biz Talk Radio Network. Ain't it a shame? Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. Going back to World Changers' final segment for this week. In our last segment, we were talking to a guy from Kansas who went viral because he bought a car for a McDonald's employee. He'd only met a few times, who happened to need one, and it blew up. And we talked about, you know, why. You know, why did that strike such a chord in America? Well, from McDonald's to KFC, you may or may not have heard about this, but KFC has a new menu item. They're testing it in the South, specifically in North Carolina, Virginia, and Georgia. And it is called the KFC Cheetos Fried Chicken Sandwich. Now, I like Cheetos. I think Cheetos are pretty tasty. I do not, however, like what gets on my fingers when I eat Cheetos. I guess I like it to be a little neater than that. And every time I eat Cheetos, I don't like that. But in this, the entire Cheetos experience is encapsulated in the sandwich on a bun, so I could get my Cheetos flavor without having to get my hands dirty. So this is what KFC says in a press release. Made by coating a juicy, hand-breaded, extra crispy chicken filet with special Cheetos sauce. I didn't know there was special Cheetos sauce. Apparently such a thing exists. And placing it on a toasted bun with mayo and a layer of crunchy Cheetos. The Cheetos sandwich will give you a blast of craveable Cheetos in every bite. So, you know, KFC has been doing this as a brand strategy recently. They did it with Doritos, if you remember. They did a time with Doritos. Now they're doing it with Cheetos. Interesting. It seems to be paying off for them. We'll see where that goes. And another story that's making the rounds now online, of course, is the Roomba. If you ever seen one of these things, they're like little robots, you know, that allegedly vacuum your house. They're now getting into the mowing business with the Roomba lawnmower. Company is iRobot. The iRobot Terra is a solar-powered self-docking robot. So allegedly, this is the way it's supposed to work. You kick back inside, the robot does all the work trimming your lawn. You use an app to control this thing, and you can set boundaries and all that sort of thing. So we'll see where that goes. I like the idea of it, but I have to tell you, I'm a little skeptical at the same time. Anyway, let's go to the phones. We have John from Idaho. How's it going, John?
Good, Jamie. Thanks for taking my call. Couple of things.
Do you have a lawn in Idaho?
Do I have a lawn? Yeah, but it's covered with 4 feet of snow, so I think the Roomba might get stuck. Okay.
Yeah, probably.
So, right. That I have. My wife has a Roomba and she loves it, but it kind of takes that. It kind of has its own mind, you know. I mean, we'll be sleeping and all of a sudden this Roomba just kind of wakes up and starts vacuuming, and she doesn't know how to program it properly. And I can see a vacuum, but I mean, these Roomba lawnmowers, I mean, I'm getting these pictures of my mind of these kids getting chased down the street by these lawnmowers for some reason.
It could be the stuff of nightmares. I could see how you could go there for sure. I don't know. You know, I think in my case, I'd probably buy one because I like gadgets, and I'd probably try the thing out. They're not the first ones in this space. There's another company that's been in the kind of the robot mowing space now for a couple of years. They've had some dealers across the country. In their, I don't know. I don't really know about the robot version, but in their case, you actually have to install a perimeter, kind of like a almost an invisible fence around your property that the thing can't cross. Since it's a fairly labor intensive and expensive installation process to get into it. So, you know, while all this sounds interesting, there's probably a little bit more to it than just buy the thing, plunk it down in your yard, fire up the app, and off you go, I'm guessing. Do you fly much, John? Do you fly?
Do I fly? You know, it's a funny thing, Jamie. You asked that. I just took a trip down to San Diego, and I'm flying back in. We fly into Spokane, and the craziest thing happened to me. We were flying Alaska. We're cleared for takeoff. We're in line. We pull up. We start going down the runway. All of a sudden, the pilot takes a right. Everybody's going, what's going on? He said, folks, we have to go back to the gate so we can fill up with fuel so we can make it to Spokane. Okay.
Well, maybe the little gas meter wasn't working right. So when you get on a plane, obviously, have you ever met anybody that likes the middle seat? Have you ever actually met a human being who says, I would prefer the middle seat, or who voluntarily checks themselves into the middle seat?
Absolutely never met anybody like that in my life.
There's a story in the news. It's about a woman. She was removed from a United flight. It seems like every week now we have some sort of news story about somebody being removed from a flight for some bizarre reason. But anyway, she's going from Vegas to Newark, and she was removed for verbally insulting two passengers she was sitting between. So what apparently happens is this lady gets on the plane. She's assigned to the middle seat. She sits down. She decides that the two passengers, the passenger on her left, the passenger on her right, are larger people than her. She proceeds to call them fat pigs and exclaim to the entire plane, and I quote, I can't do this. I eat salad. I can't do this. I eat salad, when complaining loudly to flight attendants and fellow passengers. And guess what happened, John? This was videoed. And it has been viewed over 2.5 million times. This lady getting dragged off the plane, shouting about that. Ever had anything like that happen?
Jamie, I've never, ever had anything like that. I've seen some weird stuff, obviously, flying, but never that.
Anyway, John from Idaho, thank you for calling in today. And thank you for listening to World Changers this week. We'll see you right back here again next week. Go make the world a better place.